In 2005, you were elected chief of the Seminole Nation.
Right.
Was that something you had always thought about wanting to do? Did they come to you, or how did that come about?
The tribe had found themselves in a very dysfunctional period for this time in life. I guess with my experience, I thought I was the only one can bring them out of their financial problems and their governmental problems. Beside the financial thing they had to deal with, one of the things that I had to deal with was earlier they had great disruption because the problem they faced was not knowing who actually won a race. A race for chief, my uncle was involved with that one. And it's not something you can take to the bureau that we have. It's called CFR court. They're best for misdemeanors and had no jurisdiction over that issue. And you couldn't take it to the state because they have no jurisdiction over us at all. And you couldn't take it to the federal government because they didn't have jurisdiction over those issues. So they were without a jurisdictional judicial body to make that decision. So it went to the council. It's like saying go to the legislature for a legal decision. They're going to divide up on sides. And that's what happened then. That's what really created and got a really bad person. I mean, he wasn't an evil person to run the tribe. He was a decent person, but just didn't know how to run government. It just came apart. That's why I stepped in. I told him I was going to do one term. The one thing that I wanted to do, and if that's all I did, I'd been fine, was to establish a tribal court. We passed that. The people approved it. It took the Bureau over 2 years to accept it. Just really, really upsets me. I still don't have confidence in the Bureau of Indian Affairs. I think they're just there to disrupt us and to stop our progress, in my opinion. I don't know what good they are.
Out of Washington, the Bureau of Indian Affairs,
yeah.
And they have to sanction everything that you do.
Right. I haven't passed one provision that basically stated that we could make changes in our Constitution without the signature of the Secretary. We passed that. I don't know where it's at today. But then, financially, there was really, really serious problems. Nobody would give credit to us. But as a senator, I had helped every one of these people. And they would say to me, Kelly, we'll give it to you. So I got everything moving again. We were able to function. I'll start looking at the books. They had enough money to pay for the bills. They just didn't pay them. Boy, I put them on strict orders every week, make sure everybody pays their bills. Because if they don't, they got trouble with me. That's a habit, you know. You got to push and push and push there. The other thing, too, when I first got there, there were people who were in jeans and ragged old T-shirts and stuff working there. I hired Leon Lester, who was a full colonel in the military, over personnel. He walked in, got all the employees together. Said, you come in jeans and T-shirt tomorrow, you don't work here anymore. I came to work the next day, and he sat at the door, and he looked at me. He said, Chief, you're 7 minutes late. He really put that ship together. I mean, we got them dressed like they should, and they had a bad habit of the way they treated people. We won't put up with that. They get to be gone if they treat people bad. That happened to state government, too. I stepped in on many times. We got that pretty cleaned up, and they did by property. We have a very small amount of property in the tribe, very small, like 360 acres below the tribe. So I started setting some money aside to buy property in Seminole. I bought an office complex, a little shopping strip, where we now have some offices. And I bought 40 acres to build an at-risk home for families. I bought property, but I was still in real estate, so I was making sure that the properties we bought had some appreciation value. We did some of that, so we was able to, instead of taking monies and paying lease or rent, well, let's buy it and pay it to ourselves. Those kind of basic things took place to make it work.
Is gaming helping the Seminoles?
Not that much. When I got there, they only had one facility open. They had two that had been closed down because of some problems in Washington. I got that resolved for them. They had an $11 million fine against them. That's a lot of money for small casinos like that. But I got them to reduce that and open the other two up. They're never big money makers because business-wise, it's kind of landlocked. You've got Riverwind here, you've got this place out here, and then you've got two, three big ones in Shawnee. So really, Seminole County is landlocked. That's the only properties we have. We just contact remnants of what was available. But there's still enough to provide employment. Since being there, I created several hundred employees, which then became the biggest employer in the county. So we were able to do some good things.
Yeah. Seminoles, the population is going to be of the smallest tribes?
Not necessarily. Some tribes are very small. We have probably 10 to 12.
10 to 12,000. And there are tribes that are much smaller.
There are 39 federally recognized tribal governments in Oklahoma.
39. So then there are many tribes that are much smaller than
you. Oh, there's many tribes. Now, we're the smallest of the five civilized tribes.
Right.
But then for other tribes, there's some equal to us, like Comanches, and I think they're about the same amount. But there are some who are just in hundreds.
What do you see for the Seminole Nation in the next 40, 50 years? Do the young people seem interested in preserving the culture?
I don't know. I haven't been able to look in that crystal ball. I don't know. Several of our young people are getting educated. Now, I don't know if my boys can come back from California. John, he's getting married while he's there. It'll take him 3 years to get out of law school. But his fiance is on a doctoral program there. She's from Rhode Island. She's on a doctoral program, which can take her 4 to 6 years. They're going to be out there that long. When they have to make joint decisions about where to move to for job opportunities, and they've got to make those decisions, which may or may not bring them to Oklahoma again.
So the Seminoles then could diminish in time, the culture be kept alive? Are you concerned about that?
The culture is a dying culture. And the reason is that most of the people who keep the culture alive are people who are on the lower scale of socioeconomic levels. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they know. They keep it alive, and that's where you go for that information. But from a practical standpoint, from day-to-day living out in the world, how much of that do you need? What's useful? Language. I don't have anybody to talk to. Mm-hmm. My children don't know, but John's in New York. Who would he talk to?
Mm-hmm.
I got a daughter who lives in Northern, but most of her friends are not Indians, not Seminole. So who do you talk to? It's a non-functional language.
The language will disappear in time.
It is going to disappear. It will disappear. I think my generation may have been the last of the reasonably fluent speakers. Same way with the ceremonies. My mother used to go out there. She said, no, they're doing it wrong. It's not the way it's done.
So that's going to disappear, too?
That's going to disappear, too. We used to have 5 ceremonial grounds. There's one now.
Is there some way that the education of these young people would want to keep it alive just for heritage's sake? But then the children, they're not necessarily marrying within their nation, going outside. In 50, 60, 70 years,
it's diminished.
And there is nothing to fight that, apparently.
Yeah, there's not, I don't think. Nobody's going back. I used to have a bunch of properties in Seminole County. I sold everything. My kids are not coming back. They don't like Seminole, like being there. It's just their interests are elsewhere. I have a daughter over there. She has a master's degree in math. She works at the college. So she has a reason for being there. But other than that, just...
That's sad, isn't it?
No, it's not sad.
No, you don't think it is?
No, it's just the way life is. And it's the evolution of life. That's where life has taken us, and make the most of it. I hate to see our culture diminish. Don't get me wrong. I hate to see that diminish. It is, but their life is important for what they do day to day with their friends and their life. That's no less important than what I've gone through, you know.
Right.